Hello, and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real-World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs. I am with my co-host, Natalie Bellini, and we've got another episode for you right here at 88 Psy Sessions in New Orleans, and we have a very special guest. We have Dr. Trang Ly, who is the Chief Medical Officer at Insulet, and we are so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much. We're like fangirls.
We are a little bit.
Clinical fangirls, right? Yes, exactly.
But I think everyone knows you, but if you don't mind just introducing yourself a little bit about your background, we'd love to hear it for our listeners.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on, because I've been following you guys for a long time and I really love the content that you guys produce. So I am Chief Medical Officer at Insulet, and actually it's coming up to my 10th year anniversary.
Wow.
Can you believe it? And I trained as a pediatric endocrinologist from Australia, and 13 years ago I moved to California to Stanford and worked with Bruce Buckingham in closed loop technology and learned a lot from him. And then 10 years ago, joined Insulet to build the clinical team and medical affairs team. And today we have Omnipod 5.
Wow. Right. With updates.
With Omnipod Amazing 5 updates. With enhancements,
yes.
And Omnipod 6 and more.
And so, more.
Yeah.
So let's start. Well, let's take a step back. Let's start with Omnipod 5 with enhancements. Talk to us about that. And I really want to hear about the increases in time and range and some of the data behind it.
Yeah. So Omnipod 5 has been on the market since 2022. And we've been following the data of all of our patients over time. And when we looked at the data, there were some opportunities to really improve the user experience and the things, and really respond to things that our patients are asking for. So people have been asking for a lower glucose target. And then they're also asking for better alarm handling. So there is a maximum insulin delivery alert that gets triggered if you haven't bolused for a while, and the automated insulin delivery is maxed out. And what we've done with the enhancements is enable people to stay in automated mode for longer. And so we think these are two really cool enhancements that people can access today. As long as you have pods that have been manufactured after January 1st, you can access the 100 milligram per deciliter lower target immediately. And then if you want both the 100 and the alarm, the new alarm, that will come with the new pods that have the R1 in the black circle on the pods. So they're coming. We expect more time in range with that product and more time in automated mode. A fun fact is that when we looked at all of our data with all of the real-world evidence, only half of our users were actually using the lower target of 110. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Like half the population were actually using 120 or above.
Wow.
I'm really surprised.
I am too.
And what percentage of time did you look at? Like, was it at least half the time they were at the higher target?
No, overall.
Right.
Just
overall.
Yeah. And so, so if you go from 120 to 100, which a lot of our patients are, you can actually get a 5% increase in time and range from the simulated data. And so that is, and actually with no increase in hypoglycemia. So that was what we proved out through our in silico testing through computer simulation. And that's, you know, very favorable set of results. And then what we showed today in product data was the data from 79 early users of the product. And a lot of these people were already using Omnipod 5 at the lowest target of 110. When they use the new pods with the 100 and the new alarm, they were able to achieve an increase. So this was already a pretty well, a highly engaged group, but they got 2% increase in time in range and 5% increase in time in tight range.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And it's over not a whole lot of time.
Yeah, several weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
That happens very quickly.
Yeah. Right. They had to be in the study for, had been using it for at least 4 weeks to have their data counted.
Right.
And actually, if you were using the optimized settings, there were a small group of people who got increased time in range up to 83%. So really great to see like the real world use data actually reflect what we saw in the computer simulation. So we expect all of our podders to really love the data and cannot wait for more people to experience it.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's really awesome. I know I'm very much looking forward to starting with patients.
We've already started talking about how do we communicate this to our patients, right? Yeah. So we talked today about creating a dot phrase, pulling the people, because it's a pharmacy benefit. So many of our patients, we send right to the direct pharmacy. Some of them we still have to send, you know, to a mail order or whatever, yeah, to send those people a note that says, by the way, this has happened. You know, this is how to process so that, you know, to reduce our calls. But also, I don't want them to wait to set it to a target of 100. And like, who spoke today at your product theater?
Greg. Yeah.
She said, everybody age 8 and up is getting it. Right?
That's right.
And I thought, okay, if they can do it, we can do that. Yeah. Right? We should not, I might not see someone for 5 or 6 months
because
of schedules. Why would I make them wait that long? Yeah. So we're going to proactively address that with our patient population because the comment that you kind of said, but no increased risk of hypoglycemia, right? That to me is everything. That you actually lowered a target, increased time in range, increased time in tight range without increasing hypoglycemia. So we can do it more safely across the board. I do want to look at how many of our patients are set higher than 110.
Yeah.
Right? Because now that you say that, I'm like, I think I try to get everyone to do it. Occasionally I'll have someone afraid of hypoglycemia or, you know, those kinds of things. We both do adults, so we don't see the peds where I might say, okay, it really does need to be higher at school or maybe some of our older patients where we're concerned.
Yeah, so we looked at that across our real-world evidence, and even in our adults, maybe we're getting 60% use of 110, but it's not 80%.
I think that's so surprising.
I mean, you guys are kind of rock stars of diabetes care. So you're like at one end of the spectrum,
right? Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think the great thing is, you know, with Omnipod 5, it really supports people who, if they're not as fearful of hypoglycemia, you can run them pretty tight. But if they are, then you can run them higher. And at least, you know, our system has that flexibility.
Absolutely. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. So next topic, talk about 6.
Omnipod 6.
It's coming.
Yeah, I want to hear all about it.
So new data came out just Friday. So today is Sunday. So just 2 days ago, we shared Omnipod 6 data. So I just want to set the scene of what that data looked like and how we designed the study. So we're all about, you know, getting products to market as quickly as possible for our patients. And it was designed primarily as a safety study to ensure that we didn't cause more hypoglycemia with the new algorithm. And so the population was enriched for pediatrics. So roughly a third were between 2 to 6 year olds. And then 6 to 14 was another third. And then another third was the 14 and over age group. And it's because when you're delivering more insulin, especially a product that is so pediatric friendly, you want to make sure that it's safe and not inducing more hypo in that age group. So it was enriched for that and primarily for safety. And so what we showed in the study, just to backtrack, these were patients who were already using Omnipod 5 and they had to already be using the lowest target, right? So because we're really trying to see if you're already kind of at the end of the spectrum, how does even lowering it further...
Can we push it?
Yeah,
right.
How far can you push it?
Right.
Exactly. Because if you were taking a group who are already running at 120, then you may not cause quite at the same degree of hypo. And so they were already using Omnipod 5, already had very tight glycemic control, and then they were randomized to either 4 weeks on Omnipod 6 or 4 weeks on Omnipod 5. And then they crossed over, so they were their own controls. And what we showed was with Omnipod 6, there was an uplift of 4% time in range and up to 7% time in tight range. And just to anchor some numbers, prominent results were seen in the type 1 age 14 and over age group, which is the majority of patients out there. We saw time in range go from 73% to 77%.
Wow. So no real more interaction from the people with
diabetes at all.
That's the big part. Right?
I'd love to learn more what Omnipod 6, how is it different than Omnipod 5?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that the enhancements cover that's in 6, which is the 100 target and then the neuro alarm. And then the third thing is actually the biggest thing, I would say, which is core algorithm differences. So really being able to deliver a lot more insulin if the user is not bolusing. So we designed it to be able to deliver up to 50% more insulin versus Omnipod 5, especially in the situation if the user is not bolusing. And so in the study, in that initial 4-week versus 4-week phase, people were bolusing as much as they wanted to. So whatever they were used to, we didn't want them to really change their behavior between Omnipod 5 and Omnipod 6. And so they were bolusing around 5.2, roughly five times a day. And then at the end of the 4-week crossover, there was an extension phase where we specifically said to them, do not bolus more than 3 times a day. Try really, really hard not to do that, because what we're trying to do is really enable the algorithm to do its best work and deliver the most insulin. So again, really examine that safety profile when people are not bolusing. And so we saw a 40% reduction in bolus behavior. And what we showed was that there was actually no real change in time in range or time in tight range when people didn't bolus as much for Omnipod 6. So Omnipod 6 versus Omnipod 6 with restricted bolusing, the outcomes were similar. So
that's so fascinating, because I would think if you studied a population that maybe wasn't doing as well, you'd see an even bigger increase in time in range.
That's right. So 4% is really great for this very well-controlled population.
Yeah. Right, that's it. You can't get much lower or much higher time in range.
And it was because it was designed primarily for safety.
Right.
And then we're actually doing another study which will target people who don't bolus at all or very minimally, and targeting young adults and adolescents. And they're going to have a higher A1C, so they're going to start from a lower baseline. And then, you know, the expectation is that we see a bigger delta, right? The change in time and range will be more prominent there.
So ultimately, what you're saying is that this algorithm, so they aren't the pre-enhanced Omnipod 5 really likes bolusing. It wants you to bolus because we see that traditional curve. That Omnipod, because it really wants that 50-50. So what you're telling me is an Omnipod 6, it doesn't need a 50-50 bolusing pattern.
That's right. It's more forgiving than Omnipod 5 is what I would say. It's not as strict. Yeah.
Right. And that's what we're looking for, I think.
Yeah.
And we can say to a person, could we look at that burden reduction of not having to be as involved in your pod and still get the same outcome or improved outcome with Omnipod 6. I'd love the psychological side, right?
Yeah.
Is this easier long term? Is this? There's a lot of questions.
Yes.
But that, what a wonderful thing.
I mean, that's what we all should be striving for in the next generation of AID, is as these sensors get more accurate, as we get more data, we can do more. Like, the algorithm should be doing more. The system should do more, so the patients do less.
Right. I'm curious. I don't know if you can say or not, but I know, like, with the current Omnipod 5, there's an adaptive basal rate, and typically it can flex up to 4 times that adaptive basal rate.
Yeah.
Is there a magic number for this Omnipod 6 of how high it can flex?
I can tell. Right. So we're not talking about it.
Like, yeah. You know. So there are some changes there. Yeah. And as we get closer to launch, we'll settle in on the exact wording of that. But there are some changes in terms of how much insulin the user is getting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then just curious about form factor. Are you guys pretty tied to sticky? I mean, it's a great form factor, right? It's a great tubeless, fully disposable pump. But just curious if there's any plans to change the shape or the size, or kind of sticking with the current.
We're sticking with the current for at least Omnipod 6, and then also for fully closed loop for type 2.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great segue into fully closed loop for type 2.
Yeah. So, you know, type 2 is such an enormous opportunity for all of us. I mean, you guys know. there is just so many people in need, and ADA standards of care have updated the language this year, and really such strong language recommending use of AID in type 2. We at Insulet still think that there's enormous opportunity to make these products so much simpler for users and also for clinicians as well. So there's a lot of patients who are cared for by primary care, and they often don't know exactly how to program an insulin pump. So the product that we're building doesn't require any settings at all. So it doesn't matter whether you need 10 units a day or 150 units a day, you can come in onto this product and it will figure it out over time. And so the data that I showed this morning showed was a feasibility study from Evolution 3, and we had 36 patients, very diverse cohort. Average A1C was 8.1%. These were people who were on CGM, multiple daily injections, and 72% were on a GLP-1, so pretty intensive therapy. And we put them on this product, this fully closed loop for type 2, and they didn't have to bolus, doctors didn't have to program anything, and the product took care of everything, did auto titration every time a pod change was conducted. And we saw an increase in time in range from 51 to 66% over the 6-week time period. So beginning at 51, 66 right at the end. And you can just imagine like how long it would take for that to actually occur in real life.
Yeah.
You know, they have like
a long time.
A long time, if at all.
Right.
Right. People go years without optimized insulin therapy.
How many times do we see someone come to our practice with a base insulin of 10 units?
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And they've been on it for a year and they're, I got in, I finally got into your practice. If we could just start them on a pump, which is what the ADA guidelines now say.
Yeah.
If they're not optimized on their basal, use AID. Why are we waiting? Because
that's
then I can give it to them when they need it.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's crazy out there. I spoke to an endocrinologist once who said to me, you know, I'd only consider pump therapy in type 2 if they had kidney disease.
What?
Yeah, that's what I said to her. I'm like, what?
We're going to wait till that happens before we give you...
I'm like, I don't even know where to start with that conversation.
Right.
You know? That's what she said to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like saying, I'm not going to give you a stat until you have your first heart attack.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Let's wait. Let's hold off.
Yeah. Because it's too complicated.
It's a lot, right? Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I know we have had such amazing, and I think the heart, amazing outcomes. We have to take away that judgment of this person won't do well and this person will and this person won't do well. Instead say, this is a different way to get insulin in, and we can always try it. And the beauty of Omnipod is I can try it, I can send it to the pharmacy, and if they don't like it, and I say this all the time, if you don't like it, we'll put it in a drawer.
Yeah.
We will literally take it off. You never have to do it again, but I think you're going to love it. And that, even in a patient like mine we talked about today that's 80-some years old.
Yeah.
It was not, you know, she needed a couple times to be taught. It was not just a one and done quick, you know.
Yeah.
But guess what? She did it. And she's so happy that we allowed it to happen. But it's just a different way to get insulin in. And I think that that's the simplicity on top of these new enhancements are really going to make a difference for our patients.
Yeah. She's such a special patient that you take for. Yeah. I actually spoke to her because I wanted to really understand her journey. And she just said, I'm just so grateful for Omnipod. She said it saved my life.
It did. It did.
How old was she when she was diagnosed again?
83. Yeah,
83. Wow.
Yeah. And how do you tell that story? So you start with, you know, she's GAD positive only in her
age. Yeah.
She's this thin athlete woman. I mean, she's probably more physically fit than I am as we sit here. Right? And, you know, and how do you go back and tell that you may have had antibodies when you were 2 or 4 and, you know, carried this through your whole life. And now here you are. Her system changed her life. And it allowed her to go back from this, I have to give these injections and I have to, no, just do what you want.
Yeah.
And she really does. It's
and living her best life now.
That's exactly it. With a smile on her face every day.
Yeah.
That's our goal in treating patients, for sure. Right?
So going back to this fully closed loop, is there an option for people to bolus if they want to, or is the goal to just be like totally hands-off?
No. So this product for type 2 has no bolus button.
To me, it would make it worse.
Yeah.
To me, it would make it interfere because what do they know? They don't know what's happening in the background enough.
Wow.
You would have to like look at the equation and say, okay, do I let it be?
Right.
I think if you have a patient who really wants to bolus and they're type 2, then we would have the Omnipod 6 version. Yeah. And what it means is that, you know, we have products for people of, you know, every walk of life or different levels of engagement with their diabetes. We want to support all of that, right? For the really highly engaged person who really wants tight glycemic control, we're going to have Omnipod 6, and we're going to continue to innovate on that front as well. We're going to do fully closed loop studies in type 1 on that platform. And then, you know, for people who don't want to worry about mealtime bolusing, don't, you know, they would just want better glycemic control done safely, we will have the fully closed loop product for them for type 2.
I love it.
That's awesome. I'd love to see some meal challenges, like some.
I know, you're already planning on going to eat like rice in this, right?
Yeah, rice, Slurpees.
Yeah.
However, if you're pairing it, especially with a GLP-1, how that it would be beautiful. Right? They need time insulin some of the time, not all of the time. And the system could give it when it needed it. When they did have high carbohydrate meals on their Sunday dinners with their family.
Yeah.
They wanted dessert a couple of nights a week. And that at the same time, though, could back it down that insulin to protect them when they wanted to be more active.
I mean, I think that it's a great combination.
Yes.
It's a complementary therapy.
Yes.
It makes the insulin work better and it makes our system more effective as well, right? So very much complementary therapies. It's not one or the other.
Right. Wow.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, well, this has been
a great
conversation.
Right.
I'm so excited about all the things.
I need to go home and work on, I got to get these out.
Yeah, you know, it's very exciting, all the things that are happening. Kudos on all that you guys are doing.
We know it's been a journey. It's been a long wait. Yep.
I just feel like, come so far. Back in the days, we're like, is it going to come to iPhone? And now, like, look where we are now, right? It's like so widely accessible and all these things in the pipeline.
The change in the antenna alone.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about that.
No. So we want to improve the user experience on all fronts, right? First, it's like, let me bolus from my phone, right? That's the first thing. So we have phone control in the US for Android and iPhone. You know, we need to get that to our international customers as well. And then Omnipod 6 will have an improved antenna and better connectivity between pod and CGM. And people are going to be able to wear it on anywhere on their body. On their body and still maintain connectivity, and that will enable them to stay in automated mode for longer as well.
That is awesome, right?
That's like the cherry on top of the sundae, right? It's like, and wait, one more thing. That which made me excited. It did, because it's, you know, it's again, it's one more thing to reduce the burden of the person with diabetes.
That's right. Yeah. We, you know, I was talking to my team this week and we were talking about, you know, what are the objectives of product development? And I said, well, there is just no point in improving the numbers without improving burden of care. Like there is, that's not the trade-off. You can't just improve one thing but actually put more work on the user. That's just not fair. That's not innovation. Innovation is improving outcomes and reducing burden for the user.
Definitely. Well, on that note, thank you so much. Yes. We're so grateful that you took some time to join us. And we thank you all for listening and watching. And that wraps up this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.